From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has released a new record called Cycles in the middle of June, and she joins me from her home in, I believe, Nashville. It's Rachel Bayman. Hello.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. This is a lovely new record. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm super proud of it, and most of all, just excited to finally have it out there in the world.
So this is your second record, I guess technically third. There was like a self-released record. There was a 2017 release called Shame that Andrew Marlin of Watch House produced. This new one is a little different. Why don't you tell me a bit about your background and how you got to the point where you are now that we're hearing on this new record called Cycles?
Sure. Well, my background was primarily in very heavily rooted in folk music and especially fiddle music, because I grew up as a fiddle player, so playing old time and bluegrass music. And when I moved to Nashville, I started playing with a lot of different musicians and really fell in love with songs and songwriting. And I started a fiddle duo with my friend Christian Settlemeyer called 10 String Symphony. So I did that for a number of years, and we toured a lot. And it was during that time when I met Andrew of Watch House and made a lot of connections in the kind of rootsy bluegrass, newgrass community. And when I started writing a lot of songs, I guess it was my early 20s, I was primarily writing for 10 String Symphony, and then I started writing songs that felt extremely personal and kind of specific to my voice. And that's when I kind of had the idea to make that Shame record, and reached out to Andrew about it. And so that was kind of the beginning of my solo career, I guess, like really touring and putting together a band under my own name. And for this new record, I was really inspired by some kind of more indie-leaning folk artists that have been kind of blowing up all around me, and people that have been writing songs that I feel like really speak to me and are just kind of felt like something I wanted to explore sonically. So there was like a combination of factors that led me to ask my friend Olivia Halley to work on this record with me. And one of them was her own band, which is called OPEP. I'm a huge fan of them, and it's a Melbourne-based band. She's from Australia. And there's a really, really cool rootsy scene in Australia, and I think it's a little bit more grungy than the kind of roots music that we get over here. I guess just geographical influences, and Melbourne being such a cool, like, urban center and having a lot of rock influence. And OPEP, you know, they have fiddle and mandolin. Pepita is an amazing instrumentalist, but their sound is so much more indie pop, and I was just kind of fascinated with what they were doing. And I was also inspired by artists like Margaret Glasby and Lily Hyatt and Courtney Barnett, Angie McMahon, Dan Parsons, kind of this wide array of rootsy songwriters that had kind of taken more of a rock and roll feel. And I wanted to kind of explore that side of things. So that's how I came to start working with Olivia. And our collaboration really began with the writing of the song Cycles. And led to this whole album, which I recorded in Melbourne, Australia. And I think that is a lot of why it has a slightly different sound to it, you know, than Shame. But it was a really exciting process the whole time.
Rachel Bayman is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. This new record out on Signature Sounds is called Cycles. She joins me from home in Nashville. You mentioned you grew up, you started out as a fiddler. For our session today, though, you've got an acoustic guitar in your hands. What do you want to play first for us?
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and play that opening track, Cycles, because it was kind of the catalyst for the whole record, and it's one that I co-wrote from start to finish with Olivia. It tells the story of the kind of generational knowledge that exists between women. I wrote it after my sister-in-law lost a child, like, late in a pregnancy, and it was thinking about not only her experience, but also, you know, my mother and her mother and their interaction with the situation, with, you know, having all of that kind of deep-seated knowledge. So we purposely made it so that it could be a mother speaking to a daughter or a grandmother speaking to a granddaughter or, you know, any combination of that kind of lineage.
Fantastic. This is Rachel Bayman on JPR Live Sessions.
I will come to your door with all the things I've seen before. Watch you struggle for your glory, breathing life into the fury. Motherhood isn't kind, a constant race against the time. From one body, another born. From one love, another torn. My heart goes out to you. Everything is coming soon. I'm wising as you bloom, but I see myself in everything you do. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, a price to pay. You as you sleep into the evening, I'll be here to guard your dream and feel your joy. When you wake, I feel pain. When you break open to communication, hear your voice on every station. My heart goes out to you. Everything is coming soon. I'll rising as you bloom, but I see myself in everything you do.
Cycles is the title track from Rachel Bayman's new record out on Signature Sounds. You can find information at her website, rachelbayman.com. It's BAIMAN.com. Great song. Thanks for playing for us.
Thank you so much.
So you mentioned being inspired by the, you know, the quote unquote indie folk bands that were kind of blowing up around you, and having recorded this in Melbourne, had a little bit different sonic aesthetic to it. Coming out of the more traditional roots music world, is there a line, is there a boundary anywhere that you try to adhere to when creating your own music, or do you care at all about how far, you know, maybe over that imaginary line of this is no longer folk music or this is no longer roots music, or do you just blow right past that?
It's an interesting question. I really don't, I mean, I actually really try not to have any kind of set boundaries. And one thing that I loved so much about working with Liv is that she's so experimental and so unafraid. She's really uninhibited by technical, like, people get really intimidated by not being technically proficient in on a certain instrument or in a certain style. And I think especially in the bluegrass world, there's so much emphasis on kind of ripping solos and improvisation that it can feel scary to try creating a sound you hear when you know that that's not your expertise. And with Liv, I mean, she's a trained guitar player and a great guitar player and a great singer, and she will play any instrument. I mean, she'll play bass, drums, key. She's an amazing keys player. Like, because she's so uninhibited, these amazing things flow out of her on any instrument. And she doesn't have that sense that, like, she's not allowed to try playing a solo here or in this way because of whatever, you know, genre-specific regulations there are. And I really loved that environment because it really made me feel comfortable experimenting and putting forward ideas that I would maybe be scared to voice in another situation. And when it comes to the end product, I guess I kind of realized that my personal sense of music is so deeply embedded in folk and roots music that no matter what I do, like, if I follow the, like, the sounds that I want to hear, it's going to end up being in this folky genre anyway. Like, that's kind of what I realized, because that's just me as a musician. You know, that's how I, that's my sensibility of right. songwriting, my sensibility of, you know, how to construct an instrumental part or a solo. Like, it always comes back to these, like, deeply embedded kind of folk structures, fiddle tune structures, country songwriting structures. So I definitely feel like that boundary exists, but it's not one that I create. It's just something that's kind of natural to my musical aesthetic, which is kind of a fun realization, because then you can really let loose.
You said that prior to Shame that you had started writing some really personal songs, and that's kind of what led to that first record and putting together your own mm-hmm. band and being the band leader. Is there a type of song that you feel most comfortable writing? You know, like, some people write love songs, some people write political songs. Is there a kind of tune that just seems to flow most naturally from you?
I don't think that I have. I mean, I do write a lot of love and relationship. I mean, I love songs about tension. That's, like, my favorite place to be is, like, in the tension. So whether that's political tension, relationship tension, you know, interpersonal beliefs, self, you know, like, jokes on me, that's kind of like a tension within the self. So I live for that kind of energy, and finding those kind of, like, very energized and dramatic boundaries in interpersonal relationships. But the best songs I think that I've written are actually the ones that I am least comfortable writing and singing, because those are the most revealing. So
really,
you know, I was terrified to sing Shame in the studio for the first time. I was terrified to sing Take a Stand. I was terrified to sing Hope It Hurts. You know, it's really revealing and really scary. And it's like showing somebody your deepest insecurities, or, like, you know, the worst parts of yourself. And so I try to not hide from those things. And so I actually lean into things that are less comfortable, because I think that generally makes the best art, because people can feel that vulnerability.
I'm glad you brought up the tune Jokes on Me, because you have talked about that tune having been written in a moment of frustration, self-loathing. Mm-hmm. This whole record was done before the pandemic even started, right? So Jokes on Me was written pre-pandemic.
A joke in itself, really.
I mean, has that stuff gotten worse? Those sort of internal struggles, have they gotten worse over the last year and a half than they were when you started writing the tune?
It's an interesting thought. I think that they have changed. And I think anytime that you have to completely uproot your life and redirect your routines, which is what happened not only right when the pandemic hit, but then 3 months later, and you had to be doing live streams, and there was all this stuff that you had to learn. And then 3 months later, it was like, oh, now, like, your live streams have to be fancy because nobody wants to just see an Instagram live stream again. And then 3 months later, nobody wants to watch live streams, and you have to be touring again. Anyway, there's all of these kind of, like, dramatic shifts in routine and, like, what you feel like you should be doing for your career, all that kind of stuff. And then there's the whole, like, mental journey of not being able to perform and have that connection, feeling, like, very useless in unemployment. And then now this huge dramatic shift right back into the thick of it. And each time I think there has been some work that, and I think everyone feels this way no matter what your job is. I think this is pretty universal. There's, like, this whole, you know, set of routines that you try to develop to to be the best version of yourself. And you have to kind of revisit that each time. And the pandemic has just made that really difficult because you have to redo it every 3 months, you know, for like the 4 or 5 times. And so, you know, I don't think it's gotten worse or better. I think it's just been very intense and constant renegotiation with yourself. And I think that's always going to be there in life. For me, I think, you know, the music industry is, it's so exciting and it's like full of adrenaline and it's full of ups and downs. And I do think that I had gotten kind of better at it, you know, but pre-pandemic I had, despite the, what that song might imply, I had gotten to like a decent place, mentally, where I was like not letting my day-to-day career, you know, dictate 100% of my emotions. And I kind of forgot how to do that over the pandemic. And so then with this new album release, it's been a really intense roller coaster. And, I'm just trying to, now that I've had like a minute to breathe following a really intense time, I'm trying to kind of like re-remember those good routines and all that kind of self-care that goes into, you know, having a healthy relationship with your career and everything in life. Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful we've got a little window of time with you with everything starting to ramp back up. I'm appreciative.
Oh, man, I'm so stoked to be here. I love what you guys do, and I have been to the Ashland area. I did a show there with Mandolin Orange, now Watch House, and I've been back with my own band, and it's just an amazing area. So I love the kind of artistic sensibilities of the people in that region as well.
Well, we're still here. You'll have to come back and do another show in person. In the meantime, I'd love to hear another tune for our session today. What do you want to play next for us?
Yes, I'm going to play a song called Young Love, which I guess is one of those songs that exists in the tension. This one is written kind of about, it's not a couple that is young. It is a relationship that is young, kind of moving from its careless childhood into its cranky teenage years, is what I kind of imagined when I was writing this song.
Fantastic.
No, you'd scale a cliff, all calm and steady. And I know that you'd build a wheel, giving something too heavy. But I'm like a bird in a storm, all unsteady. Acting up, it's throwing us all around. do not cash in your chips. I know you're ready.
That's Rachel Baiman playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Young Love is from the new record called Cycles. Came out in June on Signature Sounds. You can find information at rachelbaiman.com. You mentioned earlier Christian Settlemyer, who was your partner in Ten String Symphony. He has also played an instrumental role in your home, where you're actually living.
Yes.
Tell me about the story and tell me about this absolutely spectacular location that you are lucky enough to live in.
Yes, well, it's always good to have talented friends, and I'm lucky to have a lot of talented friends, and that I think there's an amazing ethos here in Nashville because everyone is working really hard, and often they're working in multiple realms. And Christian's one of those people because he's become a really good realtor to musicians, as well as being like one of the best fiddle players around, which is crazy. But my now husband, George, and I were living a couple blocks down here in Madison, Tennessee, and this happens to be the former, home neighborhood of John Hartford. And so we would always walk down this street and be like, oh, there's the Hartford house. And this is a really, really pretty street that we live on. And anyway, we found this little cabin tucked away back, set back off the road. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, George, we must, no matter what it takes, we got to get this cabin. Like, it was just one of those things, you know, and he really loved it too, but he's much more of a realist. And he was like, well, of course, that'd be amazing, but how can we do it anyway? So we went through this huge process, and I called Christian because he's very good with anything house purchasing related. So anyway, it was a long and very boring story to get this place, but it did involve hiring another friend to kind of like break into the house and build a closet in it before we owned it so that it would pass the inspection as a one bedroom cabin. Cause it needs to have a closet to be a one bedroom. So there was many stages to this. It's been an amazing home for us, and we felt really, really lucky to have this spot, especially since we were stuck at home for so long. It was like, well, at least we're in this beautiful place. We really can't complain.
Yeah. It looks like a fantastic spot to just be relaxed and creative. Is it on a river or a lake? Is that what I saw out the window?
Yep. It's on the Cumberland River.
Beautiful.
The house was built in 1940 as like a vacation cabin for wealthy Nashvillians. And you actually aren't even allowed to build this close to the river now because we could jump in it when it's high from our windows. Wow. But we are kind of grandfathered in. So it's really special.
I'm so grateful you had time to do this. I really love this new record, and I hope that you can play one more tune for us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I will leave you with the song Wyoming Wildflowers, which I wrote the day after the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. And I was writing from a place of actually real joy because I was out in Wyoming and experiencing this beautiful wedding of my friends. And I was in this beautiful scenery that I'd never seen before, and getting this horrific news about the rally and the counter-protester that was killed, I was just kind of having a moment of cognitive dissonance in kind of trying to understand how this could be, somebody's priority, how this rally could be someone's priority in this, vast and beautiful and varied world. And that's kind of where this song came from. And I think production-wise, I was really inspired by the band Bahamas, if you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is Rachel Baiman on JPR Live Sessions.
Well, I've covered some groundwork in this job, but I never do stop to look for long. So the fields out west called my surprise. The color come to you when you open up your eyes. But how come nobody told me? How come nobody showed me Wyoming wildflowers? The good old boys, they shout and scream about what the colors on this earth mean. Well, white is the color they're so proud of, but white ain't a color, just the absence of.
That's called Wyoming Wildflowers. Rachel Baiman is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record came out in June. It's called Cycles. You can find information at rachelbaiman.com. Rachel, thanks again for being our guest.
Thank you so much. It's been a real treat to get to be on here, and thanks for having me.